Let's make a confession over our Bibles this morning. Grab hold and say, this is my Bible. It's God's word to me. And I believe all of it. From Genesis to maps. And I'll receive absolutely everything that God has for me today. In the name of Jesus. All right, be excited. Praise God. My assignment, as far as I can decipher in the Spirit, is to go to Ephesians chapter 4 and muse there for a while. So let's look at verse 1. Praise you, Lord. Father, I thank you that we have the Spirit of God. I have the Spirit of God in me to bring the Word. We have the Spirit of God in us to assimilate the Word as we receive it. And we will not be just hearers, but doers. So we thank you for that great anointing that's upon us this morning. The anointing that breaks a stubborn rock of resistance, that changes lives, that heals bodies, sets minds free. Be free to do what you want in this place today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. And the idea, and Paul, the book of Ephesians is a very interesting book. The first three chapters, Paul is really focusing on give your life to God. This is what it means when you do it, give your life to God, get born again. This is what it means to be born again. And then in the fourth chapter, he's switching over and focusing more on, now that you are born again, here's how you're supposed to live. This is the way you're supposed to conduct your life. And this particular verse in the original language is like a scale as we change over to this focus on teaching. Is here's who you are in Christ on one side, and here's how you're living in Christ on the other side. And what Paul is saying is we want this to balance out. We want to live like who you are. Isn't that what we're learning to do? This is who we are. And it's not enough to know who we are. We want to live like who we are. We want to live like children of God. We want to live like we're the righteous of God in Christ and conduct our life that way. That's walking worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another, which is the difference between long-suffering and bearing with one another. Long-suffering, put up with what has happened. Bearing with one another, you put up with what is going on at that present time. Endeavoring to keep, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's a way to live, praise God. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were also called with one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and maybe the best part, in you all, praise God. Verse 7, but to each one of us is given grace. Excuse me. To each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, it's going to focus here a little bit on the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, but this is true for all of us, whether that's one of our callings or not. There's grace given to us to fulfill the call that is on our life. And every one of you, as you sit here this morning, have a call on your life. And grace is God's ability in us to do what we couldn't do on our own to fulfill that call. Thank God for grace. If you've been coming on Thursday night, you ought to be excited about grace. Verse 9. Now this he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended in the lower parts of the earth? And this is talking about Jesus. And he who descended is also he who, and he who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, they might fulfill all things. And we're talking about Jesus who had to go pay the price after his death as the spirit man, pay the price for our sins, do the other things that he did during those 3 days of being out of his body and then come back up in his body. And also we know he went to heaven and spread his blood on the heavenly holy of holies so that we could, when our spirits leave our bodies, the spirit and soul leave our body, we can go to be with him. I don't know if anybody heard David Jeremiah this morning was ministering on some of the things that happens when after you come out of the body, and it's just really powerful. And as he said, the best part is Jesus is going to be there. Wherever heaven is, whatever it's like, and we have a little glimpse of it, but the best thing is There's what Jesus is, and that's where we want to be. Verse 11. And he himself gave some. This is Jesus himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Some of us are called to those four or five-fold ministries, whichever one way you want to look at it. Not everybody is, but we have the grace to do what we're called to do, and you have the grace to do what you're called to do. And our purpose is the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, or as the Amplified says, for the equipping of the saints so that they might do the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is not just for your apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but for all of us all together. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, for how long? Until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we're still working on that. You know, maybe we could say God is still working on that through us to bring us to that place. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Been enough of that going around. Seems like every week, I don't know what, think of a short time span, and something new comes along, and people who are immature fall for it. And what's the thing that keeps us in an area of maturity is the Word of God. We keep coming back to that. Just because something flashy seems to be happening, or somebody says something flashy is happening, doesn't mean that's the thing to run off to. The thing you keep coming back, the anchor for our souls keeps coming back to the Word of God. Does the Word of God promote this? Is it centered in the Word of God? And then when you find something new that is new to you, it's not new to God, then we know we can safely move into that because we have the foundation of the Word. Keep coming back to that. It's unbelievable. It's strange to me that the things that people will fall for just because somebody said so, without any proof in their life that they have any credibility or anything like that. But somebody comes along and says, this is the way it is. I mean, think about the things that sell over the advertisements on the TV. You can't get this in any stores. You can only get this through this offer. And they'll tell you that you can dream the weight away and, you know, all the things you can. And a lot of people must believe in that because they keep putting them out there. But it's the same way in the body of Christ and people who are trying to live for God. I think sometimes we're just looking for something new because we feel like what we've had didn't work, and we are susceptible to lies. We're susceptible to deceit. So we keep coming back. Is this in the Word? The exciting thing about some of the things we've been doing recently is with Dr. Richards and so on, is you can find it in the Bible. It's right there. You can go back right to Scripture and say, there it is. Praise God. This is the direction to go. Let's see. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, which is different than loving to speak the truth, if you understand what I mean. Amen. Not everything that we know needs to be said to somebody else. May grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In other words, you can take that in the natural body, but he's using that as an example of the spiritual body, us, that everything that we need is in the body, but the problem can be when the body doesn't learn to work together. It's about working together. It's about this grace that you've been given, and you've been given, and you've been given, and I've been given, to use those abilities all together to build up the body. There's some indication that when it talks about, let's see, that whatever joint supplies, in a sense, you could say, because joints are key parts to the body, and if your elbow has been negatively affected, you know the parts around it are all affected in that way too. So you could say, one way you could illustrate is that the joints can be, in a sense, the fivefold ministry, because if you get a pastor or evangelist or apostle out of place, it begins to affect everything that's around him or her. And so, you know, you want to pray for those that are in the ministry that are called to be the equippers. But every one of us have a part. It was necessary for you all to come today. But it's not just about coming on Sunday. It's necessary for you to be part of the body, because it's not just about Diane and I, not just about the elders, not just about the fivefold ministry. not just about somebody who has a so-called office, but all of us together make up the body of Christ. And whoever's called to the house needs to be part of the house. And that's why we have scriptures like in Hebrews 10 where it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. We need y'all. Amen. Takes all of us together to do it. Amen? And when Jesus asked the question when he was going away, he said, when he comes, will he find faith, or we could say faithfulness, on the earth? And when he comes, we want him to find us faithfully serving God, using the grace that we've been given, acting like righteous children of the Most High God, amen, serving the Lord with gladness, praise God, and being excited about it. Working together, edifying it, the body builds itself up. It is tempting when things are difficult to pull back, and that maybe there's a necessity sometimes to pull back and rest and focus a little bit, but as much as we can get on each other's nerves and say the wrong thing or not say the right thing sometimes, we need to pull back into the body again, because we need the body and the body needs us. We need all of us together. Pain in the neck sometimes? Yeah. But it's still necessary. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk, or you could say live your life, conduct your life as the rest of the Gentiles walk. In this case, using Gentiles in the sense of people without God. We shouldn't still be living like we don't have God when we do have God. Now, it lists some of the things that are indications of living like we don't have God. In the futility of their mind. Interesting, a lot of these things focus in the mind because that's where the battle is. Futility, just uselessness, worthlessness. Having their understanding darkened. As far as we're concerned, our understanding ought to be getting brighter all the time. There's a scripture in Proverbs says, brighter to the new day. It's like our life should be like the sun has come up and it's getting brighter all the time. In the midst of a world that's dark and desolate and messed up, our understanding should be getting brighter all the time. Being alienated from the life of God. Now here's, Paul is saying, we shouldn't be living our life when we have God like we don't have God. But yet think about how we live our life sometimes. We're faced with a problem and we start thinking, how am I going to make it through this when we ought to be thinking, I've got God. I'm not alienated from the life of God. The life of God is the Zoe life of God. It's life as God has it. And as long as I have that, and I know that I have that, and I think like I have that, and act like I have that, and believe like I have that, amen, there shouldn't be any problem that's too big. Just keep moving on in him. Amen. Because of the ignorance is in them. Notice they alienated from the life of God because the ignorance is in them. When you start to know who you are and believe who you are, things begin to change. Because of the blindness of their hearts. The word for blindness, I believe, is the word where we get our word cauterized. It's calloused over. And it comes from, think about a callus. I get callus on here because my hands rub the wheels on my wheelchair and the skin kind of builds up thick there to protect it. But what happens is you lose the ability to feel, to sense what's going on, and it's easy to hurt yourself. And I suppose in some situations, like playing guitar and things like that, can be somewhat beneficial on your fingers. Is that right, Mark? Have a little callus there. But when it comes to the things of God, because we have, could we think about it this way? Because we've been doing things the same way and we're going to continue to do things the same way and we refuse to change, and it builds up a callus in that part, and we're having a hard time feeling, because we need to feel in the sense of knowing what God is saying. We need to feel. In fact, we need to feel in the sense of what's going on inside of us, and be honest with our own feelings and our own beliefs, and say that one's wrong. That doesn't line up to the Word of God. This is right. It does line up to the Word of God. But when you get that rote, that this is the way I do it. Don't tell me any different. I've done it this way since I was knee high to a grasshopper. Don't want to change? Then we build up callus, and it gets very hard to sense what's going on around us and in us, for that matter. Think about that again. Being alienated from the life of God because the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. And here says what I just said, and being past feeling. And actually, that's where we get our word apathy. Apathetic. One of the problems with a person who's apathetic is, you know, they're no fun to be around, but they also they're hurting themselves more than they're hurting anybody else. Apathetic. No pathos, no passion about anything. And God has created us to be passionate about the right things. He's created us to be passionate, emotional, feelings kind of people. If he hadn't, if that wasn't his intention, he wouldn't have given us this ability to do that. Amen? Amen. But when you're following down this line, and I see this as I've taught this as a downward spiral, just getting farther and farther away from God. Here's why. Reading on. Blindness of their hearts, being past feeling, has given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Something to share?
I think what Wayne was referring to, and I think we have to pay attention to it, is because, like he said, he's taught this before, and most of you have heard him teach this before. The thing is, our problem can be, and I think some of it is that we're going through this downward spiral, and we're still in church. You know, we come to service, you know, and don't expect anything. You know, we don't expect anything to change. We don't expect God to move. We expect to just to be the same. So we come to the service, and that's our expectation, so nothing happens. We leave the service and say, you know, oh, well. You know, we don't come to Thursday night because, what's the point? You know, I know all this stuff. You know, nothing changes. So I think that's what we have to hear this morning, is that we can be here every Sunday. We can, you know, we can come Thursday nights. We can do all the right things, but we're still in this downward spiral. Because we have God, we don't hear God anymore. Because we're not doing what, you know, what needs to be done, and understand doing it in the positive, the right way. You know, not just works thing, but doing it, spending time with God and resensitizing ourselves. And so it's very dangerous. You know, it's, in some ways, it's almost more dangerous to be in the church and do this than leave the church. At least, you know, as a sinner, then you're opening yourself back up to, you know, God speaking to you. But here, we think we know, and a lot of times we don't.
When Dr. Stewart was here years ago, he talked about when you're in a situation where you're, the Word of God is presented to you on a regular basis, that's a dangerous place to be if you're not going to change. You can't afford to hear and hear and hear and not do anything, because then we have the cauterize, we have the callousness that gets hard to hear. And the verse that just read there, being past feeling, and giving themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, has the idea of getting to the place. You could look at it like it's almost to get into the place that where you thought you would never get. I thought I'd never get that far away. Finding yourself doing things you thought you'd never do. Problem is, you're not even thinking about that at this point. And it's a place of, see, what's a word to describe it? It's a place of, it's like addiction. It's gotten to the place where you're opening yourself up to stuff that you would have known at one time was wrong, and now you just can't get enough of it, just going in the wrong direction. Because it didn't start there. We didn't get ourselves that way in one day or a week. It's letting ourselves go and continue to sink down more and more. And praise God, even at that point, we can be rescued out. We've got saved when we were sinners. God can rescue us out. But somewhere along the line, you got to shake yourself and say, hey, this is not where I belong. I'm on the wrong path. I've told you before, I read a great book by Andy Stanley on, it's called The Principle of the Path. And he points out, I mean, it's not like it's deep or anything. Whatever road you're on is going somewhere. And if you stay on that road, that's where you're going to go. You think you believe all the right things and everything else, but if you're on a road that takes you to Gloversville, you're going to go to Gloversville. If you're on a road that's taking you down this path, you can go down that path till you get off the road and get on the right one. Maybe it's our opportunity this morning to make some changes. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. This isn't what God taught you. It isn't what you learn in the Bible. Learn it someplace else. The world a lot of times have more of an impact in our life than the Bible or the Spirit of God or the church or God himself. And it's not God's fault. The responsibility comes back on us. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, I know we've spent a lot of time on these verses recently, but don't you find that we need to hear things and then hear them again and then hear them again and hear them again? So this is another one of those things that came together. I was in the shower yesterday. For some reason, it works when I'm brushing my teeth or showering or something. I don't know. Maybe God, in that little cubicle, God's got my focus or something. And I was thinking about this. In fact, I was in the process of putting some things off and putting things on. And I thought, the thought came across my mind, who is this old man? And I have some pet peeves about that, because I think it's an awful thing for a wife to call her husband old man, or for us to call the kids call the father old man. There's an implication there of some not so good things, but actually this is the same type of thing if you think about that. But who is this old man? And I thought, I was picturing myself walking down the street and thinking, would I recognize him if I saw him? And you know what? I would, because it was me. And in some cases, it still is. Don't know whether we're coming or going. But you know what is this? So what does this old man look like? And we're using the masculine, but you know it covers all you ladies too. What is he like? In your case, there's some specifics that you would know right away. But what's this old man like? Nervous, stressed, sick, impoverished, weighed down. Fearful. I've had a list that I go through in putting things off in the past, and I remind myself that I've been redeemed from, I've been delivered from all fear and all types of fear, fretting, dreading, timidity, cowardice, dismay, discouragement, depression, nervousness, stress, tension, strife, edginess, darkness, restlessness. What is all that? Old man. Amen? And then you get out all the physical stuff that goes along with that. I was focusing particularly on the mental stuff, but here he is. Put him off, which just means just what it says. It's like lay it down and walk away from it. Step away from the old man. Leave him there. I say that because what do we tend to do? I think I'll go back and pick that up. We're not supposed to do that. Amen. You haven't still learned Christ, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Isn't that a link to those verses that we were just reading? The downward spiral? How do we know we're still locked up in the old man, or the old man is still locked up in us? Because those things in verse 17 through 19 are still happening in our lives. I want to make you think this morning. I saw that comic years ago. The guy was coming out of church, talked to the pastor, said, "Pastor, you made me think today. Don't ever do that again." But we need to think.
Amen.
Put off concerning the former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, which is what we're working on this morning. Not just your mind, but the spirit of your mind, the attitude of your mind. It starts with an attitude. And unfortunately, a lot of times it starts with the attitude, don't tell me. You can't tell me anything. I know it already. Or I'm comfortable with this. I don't want to be uncomfortable. Don't make me uncomfortable. Sometimes we need to be uncomfortable for a while. We need to change the attitude of our mind. Amen? You got to open it up and let God mess with you a little bit. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Well, that is a great verse. So you saw this old man, and you saw how nervous he was, and messed up, and fearful, and fretting, and dreading, and not looking forward to anything, and living in darkness all the time, and expecting the worst, and getting it. And so you put him off. And we're learning to do that specifically for what's going on in us, because you're a little different than I am, and you're dealing with specific things from your from your old man. Sounds funny to say that. Putting that off. But that's not enough to just put that off. We continue to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That the first thing is kind of an act. Do that. The middle is kind of an ongoing thing. You keep renewing your mind, and then you put on the new man. The word for new there is not new like in a sense it just was created today, but it's from that same thought of kairos, or it's from the thought of new in the sense of fresh and renewed from the old, changed in a good way. So it fits in with whatever our age is, natural age. It fits in with every situation. It just, it's new. It's you know, like when you buy some new clothes and you put on new clothes and they feel good. Or like you buy a new car and it has that new car smell and feel, and you know, it's new. It's good. So you put that on. Let me read it again. And put on the new man, which was created according to God, we used to sing, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like him. So all through life's journey from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like him. And then really, that's what disciples are about. It's not knowing everything that God knows. It's just being like Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Well, all the pieces are all in these verses. Righteousness is such a big part of this. To understand that we're righteous. So anything that's not of righteousness needs to be put off. And that's not just, you know, dotting every I and crossing every T and trying to live just right, like Diane was reminding us. It's not about a works mentality. I'm going to straighten out my life. But it's about a mentality that my life has been straightened out. So I'm not going to live like that anymore. True righteousness and holiness. You know, I think I've stumbled a lot over verses like in the epistles. We're reminded to be holy as God's holy. I think that's going to be a hard one to keep up with. And it would be if it was up to us. And what did God do when we got born again? He made us holy. We were never going to get there on our own. We were never going to get righteous on our own. He made us that way. So again, remember the beginning of chapter 4? The scales? This is who you are. And this is how you're living. So we don't want it to be overbalanced in one direction or another. We want to be living just the way that God made us. Remade us in Christ Jesus. In true righteousness and holiness. I think that's why I think a lot of times Christians think holiness is a boring thing, because it looks like such an unattainable place to us, and we just thought, well, that's just for Joe Christian or whatever that I'll never get to, and then it almost makes you turn against somebody. You understand what I'm saying? We already are. Yeah. And so we put off everything that isn't, and we put on everything that is, and we continue to renew our mind because we're finding that there are, as we go along, we're finding there are more things, that the old man stuff that need to go, and more new man stuff that needs to be put on. Amen. Now, the end of this chapter kind of talks about the things that we're putting on and putting off. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Remember that reminder that we need each other. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. There's a place to be angry at the right things, be angry over the right things, but not to let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil, because we tend not to make good decisions when we're angry. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. It's a wonderful verse, especially in the Amplified. Really zeroes in on don't ever let anything go out of your mouth that's going to hurt somebody or put them down, but only what you can speak that'll lift them up and make them be stronger in the Lord. This is what new men people do. Amen? Because we put off the old man, and maybe part of your old man deal was open mouth, insert foot. We get ourselves in trouble more with our mouth probably than anything else. But we can put that off, praise God. Put on a new man and not hurt anybody with the words. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. It's almost sad to think that we could hurt him and have. Because here he is trying to help us. The wonderful helper we've been given in the Holy Spirit. Wonder what it must be like to be sent to help somebody and just to have them turn away from that on a regular basis. Don't want your help. That all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Okay, go ahead.
Every time we don't do the verse before, what's it, 24? Every time we don't put off the old man and put on the new man, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. Because we're refusing to, you know, take on what he has made available to us.
He's trying to help. You know how frustrating this is? Just trying to help and get in trouble for that? That all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. See, it's the same thing. With all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Powerful stuff. And you know what? Attainable. Because it's already been attained for us in Christ Jesus. How many of you are born again, children of God? These things have already been done. So you see something that doesn't line up with that, and you put that off. Losing my temper, that's got to go. That's old man. And then put it down and leave it there. Don't go back and get it again. Continue to renew your mind. Want to get up there and get ready to worship.